here from the NFL on Fox. You're listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. 30 days loaded, 30 nights. I'm come on an airplane flight. Mama waiting at the ticket line. Tell my son, why do you stand there crying? It was a needle in the spoon of the trail. To the moon took me away.
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and I am your host, William D. Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast, Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And joining me this evening is a favorite guest of mine, a very, very, very knowledgeable handicapper, especially when it comes to NFL and the NBA, good friend of mine, fellow podcaster, becoming a frequent guest on the show. Welcome, T, from T-Man Amongst Boys and formerly of the Spread 'Em with T podcast. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
What's up, Billy? Doing all right. It's this is kind of that very, I would say this is the most depressing part of the year. Definitely for us New Englanders in terms of weather and sports calendar. Like, Christmas is exciting for the winter, right? So December, you get excited, and then that's over. New Year's is over. So now it's just the doldrums of February with football for us Saints fans already coming to an end and then coming to an end for the rest of the league shortly. So there's really nothing until baseball, unless you're a hockey or basketball fan.
Yeah. I mean, I get excited for the NFL playoffs. Of course, you know, college is over. I'm not a big NBA guy, really. There's no baseball. There's hockey, if you're into hockey. But, yeah, I mean, dude, January is a tough time. I mean, I'll be honest with you, with all of the COVID going around, just like all the chaos in the world right now, dude, it's hard not to be cynical. You know what I mean? Like, it can get it can be a little, it's a little weird right now out there, dude. And that's, I mean, I've been feeling it, you know, and it's like for the first time in this whole pandemic operation, I'm like not as well as any other point. Like, I'm just like, well, I think we're fucking just exhausted.
Turn off CNN.
I don't put any of that stuff on. I don't watch any kind of news in my house. There's no news channels.
It's I mean, I've had this thought a lot recently too, not quite to the dark way you took it, but similarly in that the way I primarily digest information nowadays is, it's probably Twitter, right?
Right. Well, that's well. Just, shit.
I'm not saying I reuse the information. I'm saying that's how I ingest media, because I'm on a computer for work all day. I'm checking Twitter. It's a news source. You get on there, aside from the mainstream stuff, you get only the widest ranges of people across any spectrum, not even just political.
Right.
And those ideas are the loudest. So those tend to, whether you notice or not, like, subconsciously resonate with you as that's the actual way people are and think, when in reality, it's just Twitter, the extremes of the world, to give you some faith in humanity.
Well, I mean, and I do have faith in humanity, dude. Like, I got a flat on a bike ride. I was like 3.5 miles into a bike ride on Sunday. I got a flat, and a fucking stranger just came and helped me out in a way that totally didn't have to, like, went above and beyond, you know? I mean, it was like, oh, okay, there's some good, like, no, you'll see goodness, and there is great, but like, and I'm not talking about on the news, I'm not talking about on Twitter, I'm not talking about on the internet, I'm talking about what I see around me. You know, like, half the kids at the school are out. You know, like, you get it, just everything is just nuts. Like, it's, we're in the throes of everybody that is, like, able to get sick is getting sick right now, and it's just, it's fucking up the grocery stores, it's fucking up supply chains, it's fucking up education, it's fucking healthcare. Holy mackerel, dude. The healthcare folks. And that's the thing, like, you don't want to go to the doctor for a broken knee right now. They can't see you. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. It's just nuts, man. You know, they don't have the right kind of cat food. I mean, you know, it's insane, dude. But
you use chewy.com. That's your,
no, I'm way helpful. Too, I know I should just order stuff. I know I'm still I'm old man, dude. I just embraced Amazon in the last 12 months. But nobody wants to hear us talk about the sadness of the world, because that's what gambling's for. Like, I get excited about this. You know, you're coming on the show tonight. We love to talk about sports wagering. We, on a 16 game slate, you and I could talk for hours. Fortunately, it's super wild card weekend, so we got six games that we can really dive into. But it's also the conclusion of the regular season, and so we can go back and we can take a look at one of the most fun bets in the preseason and in the off season, which is team win totals, right? And we talked about team win totals on Taking the Over, I think, a couple different times this past off season, and now we get to go back and look at what actually happened. So, of course, various books will put out the regular season win totals for teams. It, you know, this was the first season, obviously, that we had a 17 game season, so it was even another layer of intrigue thrown into it. And for purposes of this program, we're going to use actually an article. We're going to cite Matt Jacob from props.com. By the way, props.com is a very, very, very good, if you're looking for just straight information and not like somebody trying to tout or sell you something. You know, there are legitimate gambling journalists out there that usually just present the info and the facts in a cool and concise way, and that's what I know, that's what I'm drawn to. You know, so Patrick Everson and his folks over at props.com, they do a great job, and Matt Jacob wrote this article kind of summarizing some of the win totals for the year. Did you place any win total bets at the beginning of the year?
No, I generally don't, because I usually forget about it, and I'm a huge instant gratification person, so any futures are stressful for me.
Right.
I did place a few on Jameis for MVP, comeback player of the year, I think offensive player of the year as well. And of course, none of those are going to hit, but that was about the extent of, you know, I do a future every year across all four of my favorite sports teams on championships.
Like, is it like a parlay? Do you parlay them all together, or you just do them individually?
Yeah, it's called the complete year of happiness where all four of your teams win. Nice. It's never hit. But it's
never hit.
I don't parlay them. I just do one at a time. But obviously, those have not hit in a long time either. So it's not a very successful strategy.
Fuck it. You may as well parlay them. Why not? get stupid. All right, so season win total recap, and man, as you're gonna see, the books were like really on. Matt Jacob goes on to point out in this article, I think like 11 of the 32 teams, Vegas got their number dead on. It was like a push, right? So I mean, like, just going in alphabetical order, the Bears, whose final record was 6-11, Vegas had them at 7.5, and their win total result's gonna be, you know, obviously the under hit there. I mean, it's weird. It's funny to go back and look at like where the popular consensus of how good teams are going to be and how sometimes they're so off. I mean, I probably wouldn't have gotten involved with this Bears line either way. I didn't, obviously, but I mean, you'll also, I think, see a trend of teams that are underperforming. It directly correlates to some of these coaches being out. Bears totaled under, you know, Nagy gets the hook. No shock there. Moving on to the Bengals. Vegas had the Bengals at 6.5. I don't know about you, T. Are you one of these folks that now the Saints are out, you're jumping on the Bengals bandwagon? There's a lot of Saints fans like that. A lot of people in Louisiana like that because of the Burrow love, the Burrow connection, and Jamar Chase and all that. Are you going to be a Bengals fan for the playoffs?
I don't think I'm going to be a fan of anyone per se, but I would like to see them win probably over anyone else. Obviously love Joe Burrow, like watching LSU football. There's the connection, as you mentioned. Aside from that, gambling and fanhood in the playoffs when your team is not in it, I tend to, in the past, always bet on teams you want to see win, just subconsciously, because right, you don't want to bet against who you're rooting for. So I'm trying to separate all emotion from these playoffs and just have a successful gambling one, which isn't very fun. So yes, I would like to see them go far above anyone else, but I just, for reasons we'll get into later, even with against the Raiders, I don't want to tie myself too tight to them.
Right. Well, Bengals win total from Vegas was 6.5. By the way, these are MGM lines, all these. And of course the Bengals finished 10-7. So they way over, by 3.5 games, or 2.5 games, is it 3.5 games, they overshot what Vegas thought. The Bills at 11-6 were one of those teams that pushed. The Broncos came under with 7 wins under what Vegas had them at 8.5. I feel like the next team, the Cleveland Browns, are perennially overranked.
Yes, they were like the Super Bowl pick for a lot of well-known writers this year.
Everybody was so high on second-year Baker Mayfield. I mean, yeah. 10.5 was their projected total. Of course, they finished 8-9 for a significant under. I just don't get it. Amongst teams that had like the higher win totals, of course, the Bucs had the second highest win total to the Chiefs. The Bucs win total was projected at 12. They actually hit the over when they went 13-4. The Cardinals well cleared it. That Cardinals were only 8.5 game win total. That's crazy.
Especially with an 18-game season.
I know.
I still subconsciously, again, think 7-9, 8-8. I don't think 8-9, 7-8, what have you.
Right.
I don't add that, or 7-11. I don't add those. I still cannot wrap my mind around 18 regular season games when doing math like this.
It is weird. I mean, the Saints fans, 9-8. I'm as happy as can be with a 9-8 for this bunch and what they overcame. But, like, the Cardinals won 11 games. They're projected to win 8.5. That's crazy to me. Chargers had a chance to overcome their total on the last game of the season. Vegas had them at 9.5. They finished 9-8. The Chiefs
to me are just like the Browns the past few years, especially with the emergence of Herbert and then Phillip Rivers before the gap.
Yeah.
They always underachieve just like the Browns. And like really glaringly obvious ways, like it's just a spectacular failure on the Chargers' part.
Their coach probably cost them 2-3 games this year with his decision.
Going with the analytics of going for a 4th-and-1 on your own 18. What analytics say that?
I mean, he probably legitimately cost them. I feel like he cost them the Monday night game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and they would have, again, they would have covered. They ended up coming, you know, they missed it by half by going 9-8. The Chiefs missed it by half. They came in under with their 12-5 record because they actually opened at 12 and then expanded to 12-5 before it all closed. So the Chiefs missed their total. The Colts pushed at 9-8. That's a team that could have easily won and covered. And I don't know about you, but they messed me up last week with some of their losing to Jacksonville in the manner that they did. Was it 23-11?
Yep. 16-point favorites.
Yeah. The Colts, who were who I said they were all year, and then in the last week of the season, I went and bet on them like an idiot.
That's how
all
it works.
I did all year was dog the Colts, and then I put it
I'm
all.
Sure, they thought that they were well aware.
Yeah.
We got to get Billy Gunn on our bandwagon and then just fuck him as soon as the season ends.
I wouldn't put it past Carson Wentz. Cowboys were projected at 9.5. They, you know, of course, Cowboys finished 12-5. Dolphins 9.5, finished 9-8. Surprisingly fired coach Flores. They're going Tua or bust. I mean, God.
I don't see it.
Who's going to want to go there? What decent coach is going to go there? And they're like, well, the one rule is Tua's our quarterback. We just chose Tua over the last guy. So you've got to take
2.0.
No one's going to go in there and do that. Like, nobody respectable is going to go do that.
Especially when you fire a coach who had an excellent record.
I thought he was a hell of a coach.
Yeah. Like,
I thought he was
both winning seasons.
I thought he was one of the top young coaches in the league. He was implementing the Belichick plan in a way that worked. Whereas, you know, it's failed like under Matt Patricia in Detroit. It's failed in other places, but Brian Flores was making the Belichick way work in Miami with a shit quarterback. Sorry, Dolphins. And Dolphins fans are pissed because they realize it. They got a shit owner. They got a shit owner in Ross. Eagles, man, Vegas was dogging the Eagles. 6.5. They finished 9-8.
I do remember WFAN Sports radio channel based in New York. So it's always most of New York sports. They do kind of what we're doing now, but reverse. So they do their preseason predictions. And I remember this one vividly because they were both hosts of the show were dogging the Eagles. Like you said, they were going, oh, they're going 4 wins, 5 wins. I'm going the under hard on this.
Wow. Under 6.5.
No one really had faith in this team because it really wasn't all that different from last year aside from the receiver they drafted.
Right. Yeah. The Dirty Birds, the Falcons, went 7-10. Vegas had them at 7.5. under by a half unit. I mean, fuck the Falcons. Fuck the Falcons. It was nice beating the Falcons last week. I enjoyed that.
It was fun, but I feel like I didn't even get to enjoy it because I was watching the other game.
Yeah, the joy was short-lived.
Like, I just couldn't even get into it.
Right. 49ers finished 10-7. Vegas had them at 10.5. Okay, here's where we get to some fun ones. The Giants were pegged as a 7-win team. They go 4-13. Joe Judge, gone.
I came on your show and told you they were the best value to pick to win the division.
Well,
hope you didn't follow that advice.
I definitely did not follow your advice. The Jaguars, this is one when I was looking at this earlier, this blew my mind that the Jaguars were projected to go a 6.5, you know, win team by Vegas. Of course, they only won 3, going 3-14. I mean, were people high on the Jaguars? I don't remember. I know it was you had this new coach called Urban Meyer, and they had I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great quarterback. I think he's got what it takes. It kind of reminds me of like Peyton Manning's rookie year, you know?
Sure.
Or like an Aikman's rookie year. But man, it's funny to look back and think that Vegas thought the Jaguars were a 6-7 win team.
You know, speaking frankly, the entire AFC South kind of fades to the back of my mind at all times. I just kind of forget that they exist. So oh, yeah. I don't give any of those teams. Like, there's just certain teams that not on TV that often. You don't have any like notable players. And they just kind of fade into the realm of irrelevancy.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Now, the Jets projected to win 6 games, go 4-13. They're unique in that I'm not hearing any rattling of the saber to fire Robert Saleh. I think he's a good coach, too.
Jets fans are significantly happier than Giants fans are in New York right now. From
they're a happier 4-13 than a Giants 4-13.
I didn't say that on the spectrum of happiness, they're both very low.
Yeah.
But one is happier than the other on the totem pole. Because again, in living in the Tri-State area, we get the fan and I listen to that whenever I drive.
Right.
And it's pretty much just pissed off New York football fans for 4 hours of a block. But the Jets fans are less pissed than the Giants.
That's funny. Well, I mean,
the Jets owner
didn't have a press conference today and go, I'm more embarrassed now than I've ever been in my entire tenure of ownership. And
installing confidence right away.
I think it's cute that Gettleman resigned yesterday.
I think he retired.
He retired. Retired.
Which is like even softer.
Because I was seeing like, okay, yeah, obviously Joe Judge, you got the axe. And I was like, wait. And I see they're heading for a GO, and I'm like, well, Gettleman's the fucking problem. And he retired yesterday. Okay. The Lions projected to win 5, go 3-13-1. Dan Campbell will be back, and I'm curious to see what they can do.
If you took that over, I think the book should give you the win anyway, like a moral victory and like site credit, because they realistically were the best team against the spread, I think, in the league, or the top three.
Yeah.
They were like fighting. They weren't like getting blown out often.
Happy for those Lions, man. The Packers. The Packers. This is disrespectful. 10.5. Was the projected win total for? I mean, I said it all the time. Thought the Packers were the best team in the NFL last year. Think they might be the best team in the NFL again this year. And you had them at 10.5 wins. They win 13. They go 13-4.
I hate the Packers. I can't even give them like a response. I'll never give them credit. I've like notoriously bet against them.
Oh,
forever.
Wow. Okay.
Like again, another emotional subconscious.
How's that working out for you?
No, not well ever. Yeah, every time they play the Bears, I take the Bears like plus 7.5. I'm like, oh, the Bears will keep this tight. Yeah. Mitch Trubisky will play well. And then,
I forget about that. I forget about that Joey Harrington jersey you've got in your closet.
I have it in my closet. I brought it home. It is in my possession.
So good.
He never got a fair shot. It's all
never.
It's the hill I'll die on, the Joey Harrington defender hill.
He could have been the greatest. Panthers projected at 7.5, finished 5-12. They're going to keep their coach. Okay.
Fire everyone around him except the coach. Can't be his fault.
Not him. It's not him. It's everybody else. Thank you, Panthers. Patriots was an interesting one. I remember really being tempted on this one. I ended up not taking it ultimately. Patriots were projected at 9.5. Of course, they covered that by a half game when they go 10-7. Belichick, man. And Mac Jones is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL for a long time.
That seems high to me, 9.5. I would have taken the under.
They covered it. It was intriguing. It was a tough one for me. I stayed away. The Raiders are another one. Projected to win 7. They go 10-7 with all of the nonsense. See, like, I like the Raiders, and I know we're going to talk about the Raiders Bengals first game here, but like, that's the thing for me is I want to see the Bengals and Joe Burrow do well, but I also kind of want to see the Raiders do well because the Raiders have been through so much this year to finish with 10 wins and make the playoffs like they did. I don't know, man.
I liked the Raiders, but they've been so inconsistent and screwed me over personally in gambling so many times.
Yeah.
Where you think they're one way and they just completely melt that week and vice versa. I also liked them significantly less now that Derek Carr's hair's gotten longer. Like, I don't know why. Yeah. I just don't like watching it bounce around.
I didn't realize Derek Carr had a heavy Southern accent.
He went to Fresno State. Like,
yeah, but he's developed like a Texas drawl.
But oh, the Brian Kelly effect.
Something like that. Yeah, but I've never heard him talk like this before. I hate to say that I'm slowly becoming a Carr fan with his, I mean, it looks like he's wearing eyeliner and he's got kind of a
mascara.
Yeah.
Carr
versus Burrow is going to be fun.
My dad is a Raiders fan. He was born in outside of Oakland, so he's a really big Raiders fan. Loved Ken Stabler because he's a lefty also. Not to go into my family history too much, but he does love the Raiders. And for Christmas 2 years ago in his stocking, I gave him a little thing of mascara with his Derek Carr jersey.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Good, 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 good. Oh, that's a good one. Rams are 12, ended up 12-5. Vegas had them at 10.5. Seems low. I mean, 11-6 would have been easy for them too. Ravens were highly touted at 10.5. They end up going 8-9. Our beloved New Orleans Saints, by going 9-8, ended up pushing. If you'd have gone with MGM, and I actually did place a bet on the Saints win total at 9, and so I pushed on that. Seahawks 7-10, projected to win 10. They come well under. Steelers 9-7-1 clears their 8.5. This next one, these next two are pretty intriguing to me. The Texans had the lowest win total on the board at 4, from Vegas, and they finished up 4-13, for a push.
Before the season, a lot of writers and so-called experts thought they'd be the number one pick. And I mean, I guess rightfully so, but Davis Mills looked pretty good towards the end of the year.
I thought Davis Mills was a serviceable NFL quarterback in the making. With no talent around him, he looked pretty damn good. Right. The next one I also took, and this one just jumped off the page to me, and I've said on the show, I'd like to follow the Titans in the AFC. Vegas had the Titans at 9, and they ended up going 12.5. I actually had the Titans at 9.5, and they cleared that as well. 12-5. Top seed in the AFC.
That's a sneaky 12-5. It's a sneaky 12-5.
Half of it was without Derrick Henry.
I just feel like you didn't hear about them gaining speed throughout the year, and they just kept racking up wins like in non-flashy ways. And at the end of the year, all of a sudden, they're 12-5.
I went through their schedule, and I didn't see any way possible they won less than 10. I mean, when I made this bet, I went through game, and I went, "How is this? This is insanity."
They should have lost to the Saints, so you still would have cleared.
That's right. Vikings were projected for 8.5, finished 8-9, and then football team was projected for 8.5 and finished 7-10. So that's a recap
of the totals, like I said, I placed two wagers, one pushed and one cleared. The Saints pushing and the Titans taking the over and hitting the over. And it's always a fun thing, and I'm sure we'll do that again this year. We'll probably have at least one or two episodes in the offseason looking at NFL win totals. So come back for that. Are you ready to talk about the NFL Super Wild Card Weekend?
Yes, I am about as ready as I'll ever be, I guess.
I saw some type of, I think it was on one of the broadcasts last week, and they were touting it as the first ever Super Wild Card Weekend, but this is not the first ever Super Wild Card Weekend. That was last year.
Correct. Maybe it's because they have the Monday night game now, and it's like extra super.
Extra super is more super. They're like, that last super didn't happen. Forget about that. Dude, I was watching that national championship game, Bama and Georgia, and that was a great game. I won Bama first half money line. I lost Bama for the game, but my first half bet covered that, and I teased Bama to 16.5, and they covered because they lost by 15.
I was just listening to you list all those numbers. It was like a little overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. But the game itself wasn't the craziest thing of the night to me. The craziest thing of the night to me was like both during the national anthem and later on during a commercial for USAA Insurance, they referenced the fifth or sixth, depending on what you count the Coast Guard as, branch of the armed services, and they kept referencing Space Force.
It's a thing.
I did not realize that was actually a thing.
Sure is.
I did not realize we were actually doing that.
Yep.
We're have a
space cloning force. The stormtroopers as we speak.
I mean, I did research today. Allegedly, there's already 16,000 people that work for the Space Force. Yeah. Civilian and otherwise.
I mean, if you're going to join a branch, that's got to be the coolest one.
I'd definitely I would go Space Force. I'd like, you got a recruiter comes to your high school. He's like, you could join the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, or the fucking Space Force.
In 10 or 12 years, we're going to have the Space Force Academy, and they'll be playing Navy for the Armed Services Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be
fun. In astronaut suits instead of football helmets, but
I'm gonna put my money on Space Force every time.
Here's your future. Space Force National Championship 2040.
It's a real thing. I was like, that actually, we did that. That's a thing now. Yep, that's a thing now. All right. Super Wild Card Weekend. First game, Saturday early game. The Las Vegas Raiders are traveling to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. I got this line at Bengals -5 and the total at 49. T, what's your thoughts on the Raiders and the Bengals kicking this thing off?
This is two things. One, the probably the most entertaining or game I'm looking forward to the most of the week. And two, with that, probably being the toughest to handicap.
Yeah, I don't like I'm with you. I think this game is going to be a lot of fun. I am excited to see the Bengals if they advance. And I like I mentioned earlier, I've got this thing in my heart for the Raiders this year. I do like the total, though. Good old-fashioned Saturday afternoon. Let's settle in and watch some football. I'm going to take the over on this 49 because I can see Derek Carr and Joe Burrow just like airing this thing out, just making it fun. And so I expected this to be around 51 or 52. And so when I saw it at 49, I got a little excited and I went ahead and locked that in, taking the over 49 in the Bengals and the Raiders game.
Yeah, that seems like a logical pick. I have two bets in this game so far that I've played around with. One I've locked in. I locked in the Raiders getting 6.5 pretty much right away.
Wow. I didn't realize it opened there.
Yeah, it opened at 6.5. So I got it pretty much right away. I initially was like, Bengals are going to blow them out because they did the first time they played each other. I think right. That one was in Vegas also. The Raiders have the challenge of playing that late emotional overtime game to get into the playoffs on a short week, flying across country when historically they don't play well cross country. Derek Carr is a 2-7 record in like cold temperatures, sub 40, if you put any credence in that. This game is tough. I really did like the Bengals, but I think it's going to be tight. I think the Bengals win, but I think it's going to be tight. Home teams are 4-10 straight up in the wild card round over the past 3 years. So home field hasn't necessarily worked out all that well. And quarterbacks making their first career playoff start since 2002 in the wild card round are 11-31 straight up. That doesn't have any effect here because it's technically both their first game. But generally, so like your Jalen Hurts, they could struggle. I like the Raiders 6.5. I don't love it. It's not my favorite bet of the weekend. The one I do like, and I saw this from a source that I read a lot, and that's covers.com. And they have one writer who posts his initial reactions to the upcoming week, the day of the last week, based on just right immediate thought process, which I like because then I can get an initial feel without having to cloud my mind with all the research I do and then start to form a narrative. I have this blank slate. He put me onto the idea of a first half under at 24.5. And it's purely based on narrative. There isn't a lot of stats to back this up, but the narrative makes sense in that you get two first time starts in an early game, which generally starts slower anyway this wild card weekend, and they kind of get scoring later in the game. You got the Raiders off again, that emotional win, flying cross country, early game for them. And then Joe Burrow's first start. Raiders stopped the run really well and pass rush well. The Bengals can't block. We know Joe Burrow's been under pressure past 2 years, really struggling to get time. I think it'll be a sloppy a few punts early, maybe like 14 or 17 points scored in the first half. So I like that under first half, 24.5, and then the Raiders total, or Raiders getting the points for the whole game.
Yeah. I can see it. The only thing, and again, this is just narrative based as well, is that both Carr and Burrow, to a greater extent, they're these John Wayne types. You know, they're they're modern day Brett Favre. They're gunslingers. They're what Baker Mayfield's supposed to be. You know, that's what Allstate Insurance or fucking State Farm would have you believe, that, you know, Baker Mayfield is in this club. But like, I don't see either of these first playoff start guys being rattled, and I think they're going to tear it up early and often. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's gonna, like I said, it's gonna be a fun game no matter what, man. I could see either those things happen. I could see your first half under hitting and the overall hitting if it takes
that's
a minute
my thought.
to get cranked up, you know?
That's definitely, yeah, exactly. That's why I didn't feel comfortable taking a full game under. Because I think there's gonna be some sort of crazy flurry at the end, and it's gonna be a last possession kind of win, whether it be a field goal, hopefully a field goal to help me cover.
Right.
Or like a last second bro to chase something crazy. You know, I think it's going to be a wild
six and a half, dude. I'd have full confidence in 6.5 to the Raiders. I really like that move.
Yeah, especially the fact that it's starting to go down pretty aggressively. And I think it's going to make some additional movement because it's only halfway through the week, but I wanted to get it early before it got down to under 3, if it went that far.
Yeah. I don't feel as comfortable at 5, but 6.5, I'd be all over. The next game is going to be the late game on Saturday. The New England Patriots are traveling to take on the Buffalo Bills for the third time this year. Total on the game is 44. Weather forecast is looking brutal. Frigid temperatures, snow, ice. And the Bills, I locked them in as a 4-point home favorite last night when I took this one. These teams split the regular season. They did have that little bit unorthodox game that had the high winds that the Patriots ended up taking. Both teams won on the road in their matchups this year, right, when they faced off against each other. So the Bills won in New England, and the Patriots won in Buffalo. I like betting with Josh Allen in the postseason here, in this round. I did it in this spot last year, and it was a lot of fun. You felt with all the weather and everything that's going to be flying around in this game, I know 4 is, could be a lot, but I'm comfortable with a small bet, on the Bills -4. They've looked like they're hitting their stride.
whereas New England has started to hiccup a little bit here at the end of the season. What's your thoughts on this game, Patriots at the Bills?
I like your thinking, and initial kind of looking at the game, you got most of the money on Buffalo, about 75%, and a little heavier on the tickets too. You can go with the trend of teams who haven't covered the previous week playing a team who has covered. The team who doesn't cover covers in the next game. I don't think that has any effect in the playoffs. It's pretty cheesy stat anyway. Buffalo has the advantage with their defense for sure. It's the number one in pretty much every major category, even though it's watered down by playing the Jets twice and other bad teams. I think the traditional thinking and what a lot of people are going to do is the Patriots, because it's points. It's a divisional game. Playoffs, looking at the cold weather, Belichick, all those factors, but the weather is not going to play any factor. I don't think there's no wind, which is the only thing that happened with that crazy game. First time they played. I like the Bills laying the points. I got them at -4 as well. I don't know what the movement's really going to be, but I didn't want to risk it. I liked them where it was. I think they can win this game by a touchdown or more. I Josh Allen has the ability to extend plays, turn some broken down things into something positive. Mac Jones, first start since 2010, rookie quarterbacks are 2-6 in their first start. Two of those wins were rookies playing other rookies, so the stat's meaningless. 0-4 for rookies since 2010. In a hostile environment, he always looks like he's going to shit or piss or both his pants when he's under pressure.
He does.
He just has that scared, it's like an Eli-esque face, like baby yeah. Eli face. So I like the Bills at home laying the points.
Score. I'm glad that your data-based approach matches up with my wing and a prayer approach.
I'm having trouble. I'm getting burnt out, I would say, from gambling. Like it's turning into a chore or a job when it's supposed to be fun.
I was there a few weeks. I was there probably about 6 weeks ago. And I mean, really, a couple good weeks will bring you back. I know you and I were on heaters. I don't know if you had a bad weekend. I wouldn't say. I mean, I was up plus 40 units in the last month, and I came, not saying crashing down, but I finished like this past weekend, I finished 3 units down after the smoke cleared, which wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, you know what I mean? You could tell like the normalcy is settling back in. What the Jags were doing to the Colts started to upset my third. I took four different 13-point teaser variations, and two of them I included that Colts game the wrong way.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Right. And so now, fortunately, and again, I don't know, man. I had kind of lost my smile for gambling about six weeks ago. It came back, and I found myself, I have been locked in, and even though I had a losing weekend overall, only 3 units, but having a losing weekend overall, it could have been a lot worse for me. But I jumped on a live in-game hedge when I could see that the Colts were in trouble in the second quarter. And I got Jacksonville at both +4.5 and Jacksonville at +3.5 when they'd go on to win by 12. And that was one of those. I mean, it didn't feel like a risky hedge. It was a hedge, and I put myself in a position where I recovered 70% of my liability. So I ended up taking what would have been 100% loss to a 30% loss with that hedge.
Sometimes it's all about damage control.
Yeah. And so it felt like, I said, even though ultimately it was back and forth, this one, that loss, you know, my some of the teasers did come in because of other variations I did on it, but like I enjoyed every minute of it. I didn't have that malaise. I didn't have that you know. And to me, now that our team that we're emotionally attached to is out, like I had a friend ask me last night, she was like, are you what team are you rooting for now? I'm like, I'm not rooting for any individual team. I'm rooting for like games, because I like to bet on games, and we got 3 weekends of awesome stuff ahead of us. And then we're going to be in the desert.
Yeah. I'm that's what I'm telling myself, to really put some extreme effort into this next month or so. I have good weeks. Like I will have a winning week, and then I'll like bet stupid props for fun. And then it ends up like erasing any win. So I just go flat.
But that's fine. Like but that's okay, because again, it's for the entertainment.
Right. So I account for that and say, like, in terms of I won like fun units, right? Like I had fun doing it, so it's worth it, not as long as I'm not losing money.
Right.
So I just during the week gets, because I'm like, I know what, there's games on tonight. The Knicks are playing the Mavericks. I want to gamble on that. And then it's like I'm getting like just tired, like mentally like burnt out from like doing all of the research on every other sport that I don't know as much about, and like the little digging for little props and stuff for a game that I'm not gonna watch more than half of. And it's like, I think I've got to turn gambling back into that weekend fun experience where it has more something of special to it, as opposed to an everyday just to do it kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you sometimes find yourself like there'll be a game coming on and you'll go, you don't have any action on it, and you almost feel a sense of relief that you don't have any action on it?
I haven't had that feeling yet, but I feel like that'd be a very good feeling. I purely during the week, I will only bet on games that are on a televised network.
Yeah, because that's the whole, you want to watch it. It's the right. You're buying the ticket to watch the game.
Exactly. I'll occasionally do a prop on something if I see like a tip online or like Scotty Barnes Raptors over 14 and a half points. I'm not obviously watching TBC Canada or whatever it's on, but I'll attach that in a parlay with another thing that's on TV or something.
Right.
But for the most part, I'm not betting on games that I can't watch, because the whole point is to make something fun even funner.
Right.
It's exactly. Like drinking at a party. The party's fun, but it's funner if you're drunk.
There you go. The Eagles are traveling to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, I saw them at last at -8.5, 8.5-point home favorites over the Eagles. Total on this game is 49. Tampa Bay's covered some big spreads all year. We're moving into like Tampa Bay hate season for me. And I don't want any part of this game whatsoever. Maybe that Sunday morning when they start to publish the prop bets, I feel like narrative wise, it's gonna ride with the league and Goodell and the money machine and take some Brady overs, you know, on some prop bets, some Brady yardage overs, Brady touchdown overs, Brady completion overs, and just have fun that way. But like, I got nothing for this game.
Yeah, it's I think the smart play, if you're going to pick a side, is probably the Bucks, even though they don't. I think last year they played the football team first round before they beat the Saints, and they didn't really blow them away. I think it was pretty tight with Heineke playing well. So I don't really. A lot of places I've seen a lot of actions on the Bucks, 65% of the money. Lay in the points, because just they're the Bucks, they're better, they're significantly better, and there is the narrative that the Eagles rely on the run, are a heavy run team. That's how they've been so successful recently, while the Bucks are the second best or best run defense. Them and the Saints are interchangeable. They're built to stop the run, so that should stifle the Eagles. But the Bucks run defense has actually been 15th or 16th in the league the past 4 or 5 weeks, so they haven't been as good as they look on paper. So I think the Eagles have a chance. I like the over 46, 47, wherever you can get it. I don't think it matters. I'd play it upwards of 48 or 49.
I saw it at 49 last night.
It's down. I got it at 47.5 today.
Huh. So yeah, I could see Tampa putting up 30 plus on their own.
Correct.
Huh. That's a good one. That's one to look at.
So another play is the team totals. The Bucks team total probably around 27, 28. I think they could probably put that up. It's definitely a tough one on the line. It's a big line. Playoff lines like that, I would typically go with the dog getting that many points in a playoff game. So I'm probably going to stay away from the side, do the over, and then a bunch of props. Jalen Hurts scoring a touchdown. Probably some of those no-name receivers, if they're available for the Bucks to get overage yards, you probably get some low totals. Cedril Wilson, whatever his name is, Grayson, who was on the Saints.
Cedril Grayson, yeah.
You may get like an over 27 if they give a line for him, because he's become one of Brady's deep targets. That's one catch and you hit it. So things like that I'm going to look for.
I like, all right, so here's some team totals for you, starting with just first half team totals, which those are fun. I like, you know, like getting a bet, like knowing if I'm winning or losing by the end of the first half. Eagles team total for the first half is 9.5. over 9.5 is even odds. I'm seeing under 9.5 is juiced to -130. Pointing me in a direction there. And then the Buccaneers team total first half over 14.5. So 14 with a hook is +105, whereas under 14.5 is -135. And then moving on to the game team total, the Bucs over 28, -105, under 28, -125. The Eagles 17.5 is the number, and it's slightly juiced to the over.
I like all the first half Eagles props and team totals. I think they'll cover. I think they'll score their over. I think it's going to be all Eagles first half. Bucks pull away late, resulting in an over, and the Eagles getting shut down in the second half.
Good stuff.
One bad turnover by Brady early gives the Eagles good field position. They score. It's a big momentum swing for the whole first half. Refresh at half. Bucks come out and blow them out. That's how I see the game playing out.
I feel like I've been talked into Eagles team total, or I'm sorry, Buccaneers team total over 28 at a slightly juiced -105. I like that. I could see that. And like I said, I can see taking a lot of Brady prop totals over because the collusion exists, man. It's real. There's a narrative. There's an agenda. You can't say there's not. Things are going to magically go the Bucks' way in this game, especially in the second half, right?
Take the over in defensive pass interferences on Philly.
Right.
What's the total? 7?
If anybody's dumb enough to put that line out there, I'll go fucking pillage it, right?
Since 2007, Brady has played 4 NFC East teams in the playoffs. He was favored in all 4, and he's 1-3 straight up in those and 0-4 against the spread. Wow. But 3 of those were Super Bowls, 2 of them against the Giants.
Yeah.
So football team last year, and then I think they played the Eagles against with Foles and they beat him. So do with that with Joel. That seems like a meaningless stat, but Eagles first half stuff sounds fun. I'm going to play a few of those. And then the over on the total game, I think, is the play.
49ers are traveling to Dallas. We all got a good look at the 49ers last week, right? You mentioned you started watching that game almost exclusively in the second half of the Saints game, second half of the 3 o'clock, Central kickoffs last week. 51 is the total. Cowboys -3 here. I'm all about it. I locked this in last night. My personal bias is not to be a Cowboys supporter, but man, they are another team that feels like they're clicking right here at the end of the season. There's so many weapons. I know this 49ers defense is stout. I know they're, I think, what is it, top 3 against the run, top 3 against the pass. But I just don't think that the 49ers can keep up with the Cowboys. I don't think they can keep up with them. You know, the 51 total, I'd avoid that like the plague. But I've got a pretty strong inclination to Cowboys -3. And if it gets under -3, if it falls to 2.5 or something like that, I'll probably get on it again. What's your thoughts?
3/4 of the money is on the Niners. Line opened at 3.5 down to 3. Most of the bets are on Dallas. Whenever I get a flip-flop on that, recently it's been a pretty good indicator. So you get a lot of tickets on the Cowboys and most of the actual big money's in the Niners. I like the Niners getting 3. I like the Niners money line. This is a good matchup, I think, for the Niners. I think they're going to give up points. The Cowboys offense is playing well after that mini slump. And the Niners don't really stop to pass all that well. So I think the Cowboys will get theirs in terms of points. But the thing that's beneficial for the Niners is that they, of course, rely on the run game. That's Kyle Shanahan offense, heavy run, control the clock, keep the Cowboys offense off the field. And Dan Quinn's defense for Dallas since week 9, they've allowed 130 yards on the ground per game, which is one of the worst in the NFL over that span. And they're 2-4 this year when they surrender more than 125 yards running. So if the Niners can get over 125 yards on the ground, which they certainly can and probably will, they have a good chance to win this game outright. So I like them getting the points. I like them money line with the sprinkle as well. I don't want to. Again, emotionally, I want both teams to lose. I hope a tie or a giant crater opens up the middle of the stadium and the game's a draw. Hate the Cowboys. I hate the Niners even more. But all emotions aside, I think I'm going Niners points, Niners money line.
What do you think about the total?
Don't like it. Because I think if the Niners have their way, it'll be low scoring, but the Cowboys can also find ways and they could just go on a run and just emotionally drain the Niners defense.
That 51 seems a little high. It really does. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I like that we're split on this one. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose.
I don't care. I just think the Niners just to play. Like, again, yeah. I like the money line play
because I've got a money line underdog in one of these two games remaining. So I definitely can appreciate that. I don't know. I mean, you make a lot of good points. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be lit. I mean, that, you know, Jerry World's going to be rocking.
It may be half-half or close to like a 60-40 in terms of fan split because, you know, Niners fans are everywhere and they travel, as we've seen.
Yeah, well, they travel to places like L.A. where there's plentiful tickets. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the Cowboys fans, I think, are gonna be that when that place gets rocking and, you know, they didn't have this experience last year. Again, I hate saying nice things about the Cowboys, but and my bias would be to go against them. But and maybe it's bias against the 49ers, but I wasn't impressed. I'm just not sold on the 49ers. I'm not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not. I can't.
Yeah. He played well last week, obviously. He came back from a 17-point deficit.
Somehow. It's a quarterback-driven league, and I don't see Jimmy G beating Dak.
Oh, no, I don't either. But I think there's value in putting like three-quarters of a unit or half a unit on a money line and then taking the points in a potentially tight game. I don't know. I could see it going either way, but I have more confidence in the Niners than the Cowboys covering.
The Sunday night game is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. I saw this line was Chiefs minus 12 yesterday, and then I saw it at Chiefs minus 12.5 today. When I saw the total, it's sat at 46.5. Night game, Kansas City. Everybody's been high on Kansas City all year. Chiefs have started covering spreads. That's a new trick for them. That's a new skill set for the Chiefs is to cover spreads. But I like Big Ben going out one last time and covering for the Gipper. You know what I mean? At 12.5, rate at Steelers plus 12.5. I saw an article, a quote today where Big Ben goes, we're just going to go out and have fun. We have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose here. And the Chiefs, I feel like this is the same DNA of the same Chiefs team that it's been for the last couple of years, with the exception of some warts along the way, not necessarily good positive things. Chiefs, again, 12-win team against a team that won 9 games and tied 1. I like the Steelers to cover here. I have no thoughts on the total. At 46.5, but I do like the Steelers a lot at plus 12.5 where I got them today. What's your thoughts?
Another tough game, big spread. Big Ben did say he said if we have no chance, just we're gonna go out there and have fun. If there's 14 teams in the playoffs, we're probably 14. We're the worst, yada yada yada. It's 70% of the money is on Pittsburgh, 56-57% of tickets are on Kansas City. So split there. The line opened at 13.5, went down to 12, back to 12.5. It's tough run to that 2-touchdown threshold. I really like this. I think this game, the Kansas City last time they were in the playoffs, I think they had that game against Houston where they started off really slow. Maybe that was 2 years ago. Came back and poured it on. I feel like that could be a way this goes too, with the Steelers keeping it tight. Big Ben has really struggled in first halves, though, offensively. Then they kind of get it going in the second half and get some late magic. So those kind of contradict each other. So I don't love a side, but I do like the under.
Under 46.5.
46.5. Yes, exactly. I think the Steelers defense will come to play better than they have been. They've been really gashed against the run. Chiefs, of course, we know love to throw the ball over the place. I think they can play like a two high, keep everything in front, kill clock, keep it in bounds. And then when they have the ball, rely on Najee Harris the best they can to chew up clock again. which I just think how the game flow will go. There's not going to be enough possessions for the Chiefs to score points. And I don't think the Steelers are going to score a ton of points anyway. So like a 24-13 type game is how I see it playing out. I like the under, and don't love a side, but if I had to, I'd go Pittsburgh. But the under, I think, is the best play.
I think the Chiefs playoff game that you were thinking about, yeah, 2 years ago, they put it in gear and came back after shit in the bed in the first half against the Texans. Last year, it was the wild card game against the Browns, where Stefanski was out with COVID. Mahomes got hurt for a spell, and the backup Chiefs quarterback came in and threw an interception on his first or second pass. Just a dumb
Chad looking, Henney.
Yeah, I think it was a Chad Henney era. and they did not cover. Remember that game very well. And like I said, yeah, and they didn't cover against the Texans 2 years ago either. But I don't know, man. I mean, it's simple for me. I just don't see, and again, in a narrative-driven league, they're going to let, narrative to Big Ben in his farewell. Get some of them defensive PIs. You know what I mean? We'll see. I hate that I'm that big of a conspiracy theorist against this damn league, but you can't watch it like we watch it and not be when you see the magnitude of some of these calls.
Yeah, and it's even, you add in even like the gambling factor, how often, whether it be the books are that good, that consistently, but the fact that the total in this game is 46.5, odds are it's going to end at 46 or 47. And the fact that it could be that tight and that close and so consistently is adds to the, there's something suspect going on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. Final game of NFL wild, super wild card weekend. Is going to be a Monday night contest. Lucky us. First ever Monday night wild card game. Arizona is traveling to Los Angeles, and I guess I would imagine Arizona's fan base is traveling to Los Angeles too to watch the Cardinals take on the Rams. Total on the game is 49.5. I caught this one. Rams -4, Arizona +4. Rams have not been impressive here down the stretch. Matt Stafford's turnover problems are well documented. Arizona's a team, I think, particularly when they're healthy. They still finish with 11 wins with a largely unhealthy Kyler Murray all year. Earlier, you took a money line underdog in the 49ers. I'm taking Arizona on the money line here. I also like Arizona getting the 4 as well. I'm doubling down, doing a money line and a spread. +4 to Arizona on this game. And I don't see anything too appetizing in this total, but that could change between now and Monday night. T, what's your thoughts on the Arizona and the Rams?
I like the Cardinals. I don't love the total. If anywhere, I'd go over on that just for pure fun factor. Just hope a lot of points are scored. It's painful to watch how bad Matt Stafford has played and how often he's turned the ball over. Not just because it negatively impacted us this time, but consistently over the past second half of the season, there's been multiple turnover games. There's been, I think he went 5 or 6 games in a row with an interception. It's he was really one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. I really enjoy watching him. He's tough, he's gritty, but this is not good, and it's not sustainable for a playoff run. And we're getting some recency bias here with the Cardinals really struggling lately too. This game probably should be lower. It's a divisional game. I think they split in the regular season. So I like them getting points for sure. I will do a sprinkle with you on the Cardinals money line as well. I don't really see much of a major advantage. I did my score projection, and after the math, it came out to 24.2 to 24.3. So it's really a pick 'em.
You know, it's remarkable what happens lately to quarterbacks when Odell Beckham Jr. comes and becomes a part of their team.
Conspiracy theory 3 of the night.
And just starts fucking running his own routes whenever he wants. He got exposed on one in the second half of that game. Maybe it was
NFL
overtime.
Street.
Yeah. He's just doing whatever the fuck he wants out there. And he ran the same route as one of his other guys, like in the fourth quarter. He's like, what are you doing? Is it a conspiracy theory that the moment that Odell gets on that squad, Stafford starts looking like shit.
Could be. I think it's a conspiracy theory. There's just something going on in LA that even watching them on defense, they let Jimmy Garoppolo carve them up.
Yeah, the defense is that's supposed to be like this Hollywood high-priced megastar free agent defense, right? Like a dream team defense.
It's big names. It's no substance. It's all style.
Yeah. I think this is I think McVay loses this one. I really do. I think the younger lion beats the young lion in the head coaching matchup here, and I think Kyler Murray outduels Matt Stafford. And I like him. I said I like him with the 4 points, and also like him at the money line. I think I caught it at +175 on the money line. Which brings me to, like I said, I've only got one exotic this week. I know last week we went super heavy with teasers and all on this show. I like one parlay out of this whole weekend that we're looking at. And that parlay would involve me taking the Cowboys at -3 and pairing that with that Arizona money line. And that's a parlay that's going to pay out +408 on that two-leg parlay. So that's really my own exotic. You know, you put something small up there and just hope it, you know, throw it. Like I said, that's a fireworks bet to me. That's just pure fun entertainment. But the more that I looked at and the more that I studied this week's games, the more my confidence grew in the bets that I've made. You know, there's some games, like I said, I don't feel good at all picking a side in Raiders, Bengals, or Eagles in Tampa Bay. But I do feel pretty good about the other ones, and it's fun just to have, in the absence of a lot of crazy teasers and parlays and all that, just some straightforward single entity, single leg bets here on spreads and totals. What's your thoughts on the weekend as a whole?
I feel decent. I don't feel – it's definitely not my most confident week, but I feel pretty good. The Raiders-Bengals game, I think, is pure toss-up, but I'm going to enjoy watching that one. I will probably go prop-heavy on that one.
Yeah.
Because it's an early Saturday game. It'll have my full attention. Can just relax, watch that one for fun, watch some offense, hopefully, in the second half, not the first. But the rest of the week, that's the only game I'm genuinely excited for. Steelers-Chiefs has no – selling point to me other than Big Ben's last game, potentially. 49ers Cowboys, for some reason, those games are just those, both those teams give me a bad taste and like not enjoyment. But I think the week as a whole should be good. I feel pretty confident. I think we've hashed it out enough where we know what we're doing, which is what we've said every week probably.
Right. Good or bad, we always feel that we're going to do all right. Well, look, man, I always enjoy having you on. I always enjoy spending time with you and talking about games. A lot of the feedback that I get is like, man, that guy comes on your show, y'all get like really into it. And the fact of the matter is there's not many other podcasters out there that I can get this this heavy into it with, man. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you coming on. If that's all you got, man, you know what to do, right? You gotta say goodbye to everybody beautiful out there, and even the not so beautiful ones too.
Good night, all you average looking, taking the over listeners. And love, we'll you, kisses. What's the next line?
we just say.
Didn't give me kisses. The script.
I'll start sending you the production notes in advance. No,
I thought there was an X and O and a like. Uh-huh. It's hard to, yeah, like pleasantries.
You just tell them how much you love them, and you give them hugs and kisses and loves, and then you tell them bye.
And we'll drop our Venmo handle in the Twitter post.
We'll drop
if our you Venmo. Really love me.
We'll drop our Venmo handle.
Urge for hug and kiss in the sign.
That's right. It's like a St. Patrick's Day parade over here. It's a virtual St. Patrick's Day parade. You Venmo me, and I'll give you a hug and a kiss. All right, brother. It's good talking to you. Thanks for coming on. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.